So, Peace Game Podcast, and Amazon is back with another episode of Invincible. As we left the last episode, the mystery was unfolding about Omni-Man's penchant for destroying superheroes, and his wife was investigating it. It was also the same episode where Invincible had some issues with his girlfriend, and this also comes up in this episode. Particularly with Omni-Man, there's a little bit more that comes out about it. And Jay, how do you feel about this episode of Invincible?
I thought it was a very good episode. Omni-Man's a goddamn G. Can we all state that? I enjoyed it. There were some things that I did have a problem with. It was very few. I do enjoy the characters. I enjoy the story where it's going. But something that we mentioned before, it seemed like it's just all over the place. Like, so where's the next episode is going to go? For some reason, the way they've been doing it, I think they're going to probably deviate from where they left off and go somewhere else. I mean, the logical thing to do would be you got to continue where they left off. You got to. But so far with Invincible, they've been kind of leaving shit guessing. For example, I'm quite sure that the alien thing is going to come back up, but it hasn't come back up since. But outside of that, I enjoyed the episode. I thought the action was pretty good. I didn't like his girlfriend. Simple fact, she knew that he was a superhero. She already figured that shit out, but yet she's not giving him a pass. It's like, you know what I'm doing. You want me to basically negate all of that to give you attention. You know that I didn't run. You know this. Like when the situation happened with those damn robots, you know I didn't run, but yet. He was like, where were you? And she was all crying and shit. That was the last episode. But now she's saying, I know that you're invincible. Okay, you know, as invincible, you saw me there fight this motherfucker. So what's the problem?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I do think that was a little weak. I mean, luckily they got it out the way first. So that's
the reason was because you didn't trust me enough to tell me. I'm like, I didn't tell you because I don't want you to be involved in this shit. But some things happened that I didn't expect. I had a feeling that thing that was in the tube was robot, but I didn't know why he was there. Like, I'm assuming it's some type of birth formality. And it was kind of odd that he chose Rex to be his clone. I mean, I get it because he has a thing for a monster girl. So I get it, but it's still kind of weird. I may have to do a little bit more research on Invincible, but so far I'm enjoying the series. I really don't have no complaints about this episode except for his girlfriend.
Shout out to the Immortal. You caught that?
Yeah, Immortal came back to get killed again.
Keith, how do you feel about Invincible, this episode?
Changes from the comic book to this, I like. A lot of the main stuff in there. So anyone who's compared the comic book versions and the TV version of The Walking Dead will understand what I'm getting at. Like, a lot of events got changed around between The Walking Dead and the comic book and the TV show. So the same thing happens here. It's not for better or worse. It makes it flow better on for TV. But in this regard, I'm kind of like, I don't know if it's flowing too better. Like the thing with the aliens and Mars, that was like, I think, two issues. And it played out almost identical. That one episode was probably the closest they came to following the comic book. Something does come of that, but that'll happen later on down the road, probably next season. Like where it's going, next episode, it's going to hit the fan. He should talk about, I mean, if it goes the same vein of what's going on with the comics, they'll tell you why Omni-Man is doing what he's doing. Interesting to see all that. I wonder if he'll go as hard as they did in the comic books. In terms of what happened here, it's going to be bloody, and I think it's only 8 episodes, right, this season?
Yeah.
Next episode's 8, so they have to take it up a notch and leave them a cliffhanger if they're going to do that.
I'm just saying, it's like, goddamn.
See, Omni-Man is what Superman should be. I wear Omni-Man shirt with pride.
I'm just saying, James, shit just goes. I'm looking forward to like seasons 2 and 3.
Have they been greenlit yet?
Yeah, as far as I know, I think they've already greenlit season 2, which is definitely a wise decision.
Kind of brings me to one of the things I'm not happy with about the show. For an animated show, they're spending a lot of money on things that don't really matter, the long car trips and stuff like that. It's like truncate this a little bit. You've got to animate it all, and the animation quality kind of suffers, but the action scenes are good. And then I can appreciate that.
Kind of do agree with you, but I think the reason why they do that is because I don't think that many people are familiar with Invincible. So they try to do it to build the character up, build like the relationships up.
Yeah, but
I understand what you're saying, though.
Right. Yeah, I just don't think we need 45-minute animated shows. Justice League animated series. You remember Justice League Unlimited and like how they broke up their episodes into two parts? It'd be two 20-minute episodes.
Yeah, but you also got to remember, everyone knows those characters.
It's not about character introduction. It's like you do with the time you've got. And they should be just cutting to the chase and making those episodes, each one work within that 20-minute span, and 20 minutes, not 45 minutes, my take on it.
So let me ask you this. Is this the girlfriend a character in the comics?
Yeah. She has a storyline that pops up. It's not really.
Is she black?
No, they changed that. She's not the one, so it's not that big a deal.
Like, oh, I already know. It's obvious as Eve.
Yeah, so it's not. And she has like one storyline that pops up. I think they're trying to build her character up so it makes her storyline, when she does have it, that much more impactful.
Mm-hmm. I could do without all the relationship stuff. I think it worked maybe for the first two or three episodes, or at least when they started dating. But point of that, now in the relationship, I could have had that happen earlier in the season, and everything else would have still transpired the same way, just without him wanting, I like you, I don't like you, we're together, we're not together. And it just gets a little repetitive with that. All I really wanted to see was Omni-Man get busy.
Edgier version of Peter Parker.
Yeah, I can see that. I think Mike might have made a comment on one of the earlier podcasts about this, comparing it to anime, at least some of the violence part of it. And it does follow some of those trends. It does. I mean, this episode was kind of like Dragon Ball Z. But Omni-Man, shout out to Omni-Man.
Omni-Man is like the animated version of Zero Fucks Given. That boy, like, he destroys people with like no remorse. I don't know the reason why he's doing it, because they're still not saying that. I'm assuming that gets saved for the season finale. But I mean, you figure they brought dude back to life for him just to get him to be
to die again
in front of the entire world.
Oh, he caught it. Immortal caught it. He's like, no!
I mean, for a minute, I was like, okay, Immortal, all right. But now I was like, hold on, this is called Invincible, so yeah, he about to get punished.
I've thoroughly enjoyed the series so far, and think it's one of the best things that's on television, comic related. It's good. It's thoroughly entertaining. The story keeps me glued to it. I know, Keith, you've already read the comics, so you know a lot more about it, but this is any indication, this would make me want to go pick up the comic book and start reading it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I said, I got to read the comic now.
I mean, this is really good. You got enough things outside of just Invincible and Omni-Man and that whole dynamic to where it's a whole lot of stuff you focus on. Like the black dude, I think it was from the sixth episode that took over the tower from I can't remember none of these characters' names.
Yeah, well, it was Mahershala Ali playing that character.
Yeah. Which one, Titan?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I say it, it's really good to me.
Like, I'm pleased they didn't go soft on the violence. Like, because, I mean, that was a thing within the comic. What if Superman didn't give a shit about a body count? Like, just ripping arms off.
Yeah, it's like Man of Steel, people were complaining. It's like, oh, Superman destroyed Bill. Like, hey, don't worry about that right now. Omni Man gets it in.
Dude just blowing up, like, using the shockwave to blow up whole cities and stuff. So I'm like, yeah, no, it gets in there. My take is, like, this is all one big setup for what's to come moving on, and please with that they kept the censorship to a minimum.
Yeah, I mean, the only time they really censor is when they need to cut to the Invincible logo.
Oh, yeah, when they say his name.
Yeah.
Peter Parker thing, I think that's a good take on it as well, like, because they try to make Mark's life as tragic and eventful as Peter Parker's. You really don't want to be his character at times, especially when he gets his ass whipped.
Another dude lost his boyfriend, so, like...
Yeah, and it seemed like he gets his ass whipped at least once or twice each show.
I mean, he steps up later on. That's going to happen, but...
And he's still coming to his powers, too.
Yeah, he's not as powerful as his father and everything. So, yeah, I mean, the one thing people haven't been asking that I've looked around is they've not asked the one question. What happened to the rest of the dude, the Viltrumites?
Oh, no. Keep kind of left that shit for dramatic pause. What happened to the rest of the Viltrumites? Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, well, like I said, hopefully they'll talk about what's going on in the next
one. Man, hold on. So, is it a whole planet full of these dudes?
Yeah, they talked about in the first one.
They kind of sets it up like they were Green Lanterns, that everyone has a sector or everyone has a planet.
There's something more
to it. And his father was assigned to Earth.
My gut is telling me it's way something way more to it, something a little bit more dastardly.
You'll dawn on where this show's going to go, and you're going to be like, oh, dear God. It's kind of like, God damn, this is not going to be good. The premise is set up. I mean, even though it's ripping off of DC Comics, I mean, it took it in a way that they would never think they'd go.
Yeah, yeah.
Never would have thought to go that way.
I mean, Invincible almost got destroyed by a Thundercat. So,
Battle Beast.
James, what score would you give this episode of Invincible?
I would give it 8.5. Very action-packed. I am still very invested into it because I want to know what's going to happen next, because they did leave on a pretty heavy cliffhanger. The action was amazing, and I know that I'm harping on this pretty hard, but just his girlfriend and how she was acting, I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. I guess it was necessary because I think they're trying to build her character up, and they're trying to build Mark's character with her, like their relationship up, and the dynamic of him being a teenager and him also being invincible. Like, basically to juggle both responsibilities. So I think it was needed, but I was just like, man, come on, seriously. But outside of that, I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to next Friday to see how this is going to end up. I have a feeling, but if it goes that route, it's going to be bad. But I don't know in depth of how bad it's going to be. But from what Keith is saying, we're here for some shit. So I'm all for it.
All right. But Big Man, what score would you give this episode?
I'll give it a 9.
Oh.
I mean, I really like it. I didn't get a chance to go watch it again yet, but I told y'all Friday after I watched it, I was like, I'm about to run this back. And then I just got caught up. Because the second it was over, I was like, I got to see this again. That was good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Omni-Man, I just want to see it last 20 minutes. Keith, what score would you give?
Give it an 8. The takedown of the Immortal was just as graphic as I knew it would. You can always count on Invincible having that 2-minute YouTube blurb of just showing somebody get ripped in half. So it doesn't disappoint. Like where it's going, I thought the way Cecil was trying to stop Omni-Man made sense. And he wasn't doing anything like, you know, just ridiculous or over the top. One of the things I like the most about Invincible is that there's no kryptonite in this. Oh, we got something that'll stop you. It's a magical green rock that'll sap all your powers and knock you out. We just have to hold on to it.
Yeah, I agree with that, because they don't know how to handle him. He's a threat.
No one knows what the heck to do. They're like, is he bad? Like, why is he doing all this stuff? And like, why did he kill him? And what can you do about it? And I felt it's good. I give it an 8, and I'm pretty much keeping all the episodes at the same level. This last episode, the episode 8, will determine whether or not that score changes overall, but so far so good.
I give this episode an 8. It's all about Omni-Man, Nolan. Omni-Man like, got busy with the Get Busy tool, yo. That's all I care about. I was waiting for the moment, and it happened. It was more than satisfactory. Because the Immortal. And Marcus is like,
you knew that was going to happen?
Anytime Omni-Man jumps on there and he's fighting somebody, somebody's going to get ripped in half.
Yep.
From that
one episode, because he was warning his son about joining teams, things like that. And then Thundercat bashed his brains in and he watched it. So you know
he watched the whole thing. Yeah, he watched the whole thing.
At some point they have to clash with him, and he genuinely loves his son. So it's not like he's playing it off as, well, Dad, you never really loved me type thing. Genuinely loves his son. And he was just trying to reach his son. And he's coming up with obstacle after obstacle. And Cecil's throwing everything at him. And Omni-Man just like, yeah, whatever, yo. I'm brushing all that stuff off. And it's happening in the most egregious way possible. But yeah. Good job, Omni-Man. This episode is all about Omni-Man. Like, Mark and his relationship problems, I don't care. Omni-Man got
an Omni-Man shirt right now.
Yeah. I went on Amazon and bought the Omni-Man toy. Won't be here till May. But Omni-Man, that's all I'm talking about. Omni-Man did it. And I could take another 20 minutes of Omni-Man getting busy.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised sooner or later they come up with a compilation on YouTube of his the brutality of Omni-Man.
Because that first episode when he destroyed the Guardians, it was like, oh, Batman caught it.
Yeah.
Wait for
it. I got to read the comics now.
It's worth reading it, but once you get maybe like 30 issues into it, you'll understand why I'm saying that this is like filler compared to what the hell goes down next.
Damn. Okay.
This chick is ridiculously bad. It gets bloody.
Why is it that if this comic is so damn graphic and so good, why is it that? Well, hold on. Who was the publisher?
Image Comics. And Kirkman hasn't sold the rights to Invincible. He's been trying to shop it around. When he shopped it around, like nobody was buying it because he wanted to keep the graphic level at the same level. So he wanted to do it as a live action one, and that'll be the boys, basically.
Shout out to Amazon for taking the risk on this, because shows like this come up ever so often. I mean, particularly with Netflix, they'll do stuff like this, and it's not as successful. Netflix has a niche with some of these, I mean, particularly with the boys and this show. And didn't they already work with J.K. Simmons on that? What the heck was that one show that he was in?
He was a spy.
Multiple realities or something like that.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so...
That show was tragic.
I mean, particularly with this show, they have a lot of star-studded voice acting. And sometimes some of these people that are professional actors don't really translate well into voice acting, but you can never tell with this compared to any of the DC animated TV shows or DC animated movies. Like, it's that level of good voice acting. The voices fit the characters. I mean, because you always have those DC movies where it's a different version of Batman, so it's a different voice. So it's not always Kevin Conroy, but it'll be somebody else. Like, yeah, that doesn't really work. I mean, this one, everything works out, except for the pacing. That is the biggest problem with the show, is that maybe it just needed to be 6 episodes. You take out some of the relationship stuff, let that progress even more quickly at that point. You kind of have this format, whether it be 6 episodes, 8 episodes, 10, 12, like that. I think it just really needed to be 6. But yeah, I mean, this last episode can go in a whole bunch of different directions where Mark and Nolan face off against each other.
Damn it, Keith.
But it kind of reminds me like One Punch Man. This episode,
you know, I say though, like, there was the later issues, there was a war, and dudes are doing some fucking horrendous shit. She goes left and then back, and then warp speed quickly in this thing.
But like you said, man, to piggyback on like the voice acting is J.K. Simmons is perfect for Omni-Man. Perfect. I don't even know the character like that, but I can't see anyone else doing it.
Yeah. Again, the voice acting is on point for this. I mean, for it to have the Hollywood cast that it has, I mean, everyone fits their role perfectly. Steve Yeun kind of has that, again, that nasally Warner Brothers Teen Titans level voice, and it works. We'll likely rewatch this after... just to see if I missed something. Like, after this final episode, just because I want to go back through and watch Battle Beast, Thundercat, put Hammer Time down on everybody.
Yeah, Battle Beast was fucking everybody up, man. I mean, he didn't even need the rest of the team.
Yeah, and again, that was the problem with that last episode, where it just didn't fit the flow of the show. The episode about the college happens early in the season. And then you go from the Battle Beast episode to this one. Yeah, that flows well. I think just the pacing needs to change for future seasons. Cut down on the romance relationship stuff. The home stuff is fine because it has to tie into the overall mystery. I think for me, the way that the show started off, where it started off on an action scene, and then the Guardians ended in lots of action scenes. That's how the show should flow to me. But yeah. But all right, Peace Game Podcast.
refresh my memory real quick on what's going to happen after. Oh my God.
Now shut up, Keith.
I'm not saying I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop. But God damn.
Shout out to Omni-Man, yo.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm definitely going to get an Omni-Man shirt. I don't give a fuck what nobody says. I kind of find it.